all this suspicion directed against the mine that seems unwarranted. We know little of their intentions, except that so far they have driven for peace.
As you approach the perimeter system, you're violently brought out of hyperspace. The ship sort of jerks out of the dimensional hop. And the ship kind of, like, is still sort of moving for a while before you realize it's moving fast and bring it to a stop. Matter transfers.
I'm sorry, what?
Technology brought to us by our new masters, the Mindnets.
Unlike last time, where Cax was kind of reluctant to do anything, he kind of just falls on his face in front of him, like, right in front of him.
Barry, what is it that you desire of us, my lord?
In short, the Council races must be brought to desperation. They must be shown that the Lazaks are their only chance for salvation, for unification, for peace. Destiny gentlemen, we will turn the stage over to Mr. Richard Jellison.
Yes!
I have rolled Stevie Foxes.
Oh, of course,
I'm sure he's not
a,
excited.
One white.
That's a black for me.
Okay.
Oh, that is two whites.
Two whites. And finally,
a black, I think.
A black.
Yeah.
A black, I think. Three whites, two blacks. Okay.
You think.
Okay. Three whites, one black, I think.
Whatever that
Kitty Fox.
Huzzah.
My questions are, of course, always the same as they are before.
What?
Just a very, very brief reminder.
I wish we
I
knew
give four
that.
Questions, you answer them out of character, referring to your character
yes.
in the third person. The next three questions come from each of our other players in character, and those are anachronic and couldn't occur at any point during our story. Number one. What was your homeworld / place of origin?
So, this has kind of a long-winded answer on this.
Oh, boy.
QB Fox was born into a small traveling Sar colony. The planet he was actually born on is unknown to him, only that he can recall that his family once said it was not right, like all of the other planets.
Hmm.
But the traveling made him love the stars. Ultimately, they did end up on Mold Primus when he was at an early age, and he and the other children were put into what amounted to an orphanage. His parents left him behind, and QB to this day does not know why.
Wow.
As he was growing up, he was interested in contact sports, mainly the Twilight Imperium universe's equivalent of schoolyard football, and he played as the, ironically, quarterback.
They call it rugby.
Yeah.
He was the QB on the team.
Oh,
when he wasn't being a QB, however, he was a Hellion, belonging to rough crews of hot, young hot rodders, and got into small-time crime, the largest of which was when he tried to hotwire and steal an auxiliary transport vessel from none other than Graham Carmichael and the Lazy Dog.
Oops.
So QB does not know where he was born.
And he was left in an orphanage, basically.
Basically.
Okay.
So
that's the
this...
abandonment issue number one.
All this crime.
That's daddy issue one.
Yeah, damn.
All that Zero ever did was murder people.
Okay. question number two for me. Three people who are important to QB's past, both positive and negative.
Okay, to get this one out of the way, as far as QB is concerned, his parents are dead to him.
Okay.
He doesn't know, a lot about them besides the fact that they were searching for something. They weren't, like... religious preaching, but of course he assumes now that they were following the call of Raj.
QB wouldn't be hopeful. He'd be like, fuck you guys.
He, again, it's abandonment issues on top of abandonment issues.
Well, how old was QB when he was put in this orphanage?
Oh, about 10.
Okay.
Because QB's only like 25 now, so he was about 20 when he got picked up by Graham.
Okay.
So the colony he was born into raised him and then the other children as a whole, like what you would expect as like from Vakata did on the asteroid belt
yes.
with all their children.
Absolutely.
But the three most important people to him were Graham Carmichael, the captain of the Lazy Dog. Mm-hmm. He was recently killed in an impressive display by QB.
In under 6 seconds.
Artyom Drevik, mentor of QB, taught QB everything he knows about piloting.
Would you be willing to spell that for me?
ArtYom.
Right.
Dravik.
Dravik.
And how's that pronounced?
Artyom.
Artyom.
Artyom?
Didn't you just refer to him as Dravik last week?
Yeah, but I gave him a name to give him some more characterization. He taught QB everything he knows about piloting. He led QB to believe Graham was enslaving his crew. He died in the escape of the Lazy Dog.
Nice.
And number three, of course, Lorem Ipsum, head chef, for all intents and purposes, QB's ex-boyfriend also, left for dead on the Lazy Dog, apparently still alive.
Well, ex-boyfriend because...
Well, for all intents and purposes.
Yes,
so did you break up with him? Or
I'm just reminding knowledge that I already know Lorem was left behind in QB's escape, despite Lorem asking him to stay.
Yes, which is why...
Again. Wow.
Yes.
Well,
Lorem probably died. Time to go put my dick in something else. No, that's terrible.
Wow. That's not QB at all.
Wow.
No, QB, up until he found out, QB like painfully mourned the loss of Lorem.
So would this be when like Lorem walks up to your door and looks at you through the window and sees you with another guy?
Graham, so then up until you re-encountered Graham, then QB was quite confident that Lorem was dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now it's hope, but also fear.
Yes. Mm. Graham has confirmed to you, QB, that Lorem didn't escape the ship.
Right.
But that's all he knows.
QB would rather be hopeful on that, which is why he considers Lorem to be alive.
Yes. Why Mole Primus?
So QB went back to Mole Primus's, was because it's where he grew up. It's where he lived with his poor family. He didn't really have a choice. So after he escaped the explosion of the Lazy Dog, it was the first place he thought to punch in the coordinates of. He just wanted to go home. And after he crash-landed, I mean, he got back into his street crime and didn't really do anything, kept his head down until we got picked up by this crew.
Why did he crash-land?
Yeah, I was curious about that.
He was hurt also. Like, he was injured in the escape.
Okay.
Well,
that's
have
how
you
he
seen
lost.
Well, he crashed, so maybe if as he was approaching Mole Primus, he was, like, losing a bit of blood and wasn't very conscious as he was trying to... And then slipped and crashed, and that's how he lost his legs.
Okay.
So he tried to go back home.
Okay, and last one, though I think I know the answer. If there was one thing that he could go back and change about his past... What would he do? Past being here, anything before session one?
Right. This kind of has two answers, depending on the timeline.
Okay.
So a couple, like, weeks before... Well, months and weeks before finding and killing Graham...
Yes.
His answer would have been, oh yeah, go back and save Lorem.
Right.
But after all of that happened... if he could do anything different, he would confront Dravik on the night before everything went down on the Lazy Dog to confront him, get answers, and see whether or not Graham actually was enslaving people and it wasn't just something that he was told in order to turn him against his captain.
You couldn't have possibly known that, could you?
Sorry?
You couldn't have possibly known that, could you?
Known what specifically?
No, QB couldn't have known that, but he could have asked.
Yeah.
So no, he like that's
that, like that
no,
exact
so
night
after,
before it all happened.
So,
no,
so
he,
in retrospect, that's what you would want
in,
to go
so,
back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before
just
Graham,
to ask him in general.
Before Graham would have wanted to save Lorem. After Graham would have wanted to make sure that
he was doing,
he
the
was
right thing for
doing
the right
something
reasons.
Not terrible.
And this wasn't just a rebellion. It was actually an escape.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, oh, we lie to use people to make sure that, hey, well, I need a crew to go and escape. He's a bad guy.
Right.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
And QB will never get that closure yet.
Little do you know, I'm the father figure you have to kill in the future now.
He's actually your father.
Yeah.
Plot twist.
That's why you're a white fluffy dog.
Nathaniel's
a
slightly taller than usual.
Yes.
So
yeah, you're slightly taller than all the other Sar boys.
The best the Kriens could do to mend the timeline.
I don't know what to tell you.
Bug gets a furry suit and just owns it.
No, I unzip my actual skin and I'm a furry underneath.
Those are my questions. I'm opening the floor now to the characters.
I am excited to hear what you bring to the table, gentlemen.
To be honest, I actually had, like, the most difficult time coming up with questions for your character.
Yeah.
I had the easiest time coming up with questions for your character.
Can I borrow like one or two of them?
It's interesting because
I only have,
like I've said a billion times, QB wears his heart on his sleeve, so all the information that he has is that, except for a couple things, I guess, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so you kind of already answered one of them.
Everything's
like, crap.
Answered, yeah.
Whoever wants to start, I'm not
going
to
start. So, okay. Context for these questions, or are you just going to go into it?
Yeah, no, you can explain when you ask them or what you might be doing while you're asking them. Might be more interesting, in my opinion, it might be more interesting to explain what you're doing with QB when you ask the question, as well as context time-wise. That would be
this, in specifics, would be right as we came back from, you know, Garbozia to the Tsar people and to let them know, like, hey guys, this is what we're doing. And he went to talk to the Grand Elder, and we're walking back to the ship, I guess.
And this is after I get the gold ball?
Yes.
Okay.
What's stopping you from going back to your people? You love them so much and you care for them, but why do you show the same affection for us when we've really done nothing for you? And you're traveling with us, wasting time, and you can be with your Tsar brethren.
The people that I'm trying to save is... Look, I didn't have a lot of people of my people around me besides what I grew up with. I didn't know the plight of the Tsar in the galaxy. And the fact that I'm a well-to-do kind of guy who's been making some big change is... It's kind of put a spring in my step, and now that I've figured out these things about my people, I want to help them. Seeing on Vakata what absolute poverty these people are living in, and making a change for the good of all these Tsar kind is an incredible thing, but... I don't know these people. The fact that I've been traveling with you guys for so long is a testament to, I don't know, you keep me alive, you keep the ship flying, and that means a little more than something, I guess.
But you it's just four of us, and you can go back with your whole hundreds of thousands of millions of people to help them. We're not doing just not hundreds of thousands, not hundreds of millions.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I was just escalating.
You just kept going. Oh my goodness.
Because I don't know. Well, you don't know, man. Bionic. Bionic fucker over here.
Waiting for you.
Okay. We're not doing SAR. We're not doing work for the SAR. We're helping the galaxy, so I don't... You care more about the Tsar than the galaxy, so why not help them where they need help?
Because it helps them more if a Tsar helps other people in a big way. It changes perspective. Like, this whole religion thing is, like, opening my eyes, and it's kind of crazy, but, like... To be more than just a Tsar means all of these Tsar can be more than just what people think they are.
If you expect to be a council race, good luck.
Oh. Hey, look, they're in the talks with the Mind Net, so...
Soon there will be no more council, but the Tsar will be on top.
Yeah, just the Tsar.
Ha-ha! There's... numbers.
and the rat folk. The rat folk, too.
Oh, the
they somehow make it.
The Sinemorans, yeah.
They somehow make it.
Yeah. What are you talking about? They conquer everything.
Yeah, that's end game.
Cadex,
sorry to spoil Canthix.
I love that part. I just
can't Cadex.
I give them 10 rations. that was a great
everyone,
moment. I love those rat people. I guess my character can go next.
This is right after you killed your father figure?
Yeah, totally. No, this is why I kind of felt my question would be appropriate next, is because this would kind of take place fairly close to after Bug would ask you that. Kind of context for this is, I'm assuming you still need to have somebody kind of monitoring the ship while it's in hyper?
Absolutely, because there are physical objects in hyperspace.
Right.
And hyperspace, if another ship enters it, or if there's a mass or something that needs to be that moves, it's a moving thing, just like the regular galaxy.
How fast do you move in
light speed?
Light speed, but in that dimension's light speed.
Almost light speed. So you're okay.
So it's really it's faster relatively to the different universe.
So
different dimensions.
Parsec is 3 light years. A light year being how far light travels in one Earth year.
It
but
basically,
in hyperspace travel, we can travel 10 parsecs in 2 days. So
how can you just how can you just like dodge these objects?
So if one parsec is 3 light years,
they're going the same speed relative to you that they would in normal frame of reference.
Yes.
I think the best analogy for this would be when you're trying to run in water, and that's all you know, you're trying to run in water, like the resistance you get, and then you hop out of that and then you start running in air.
Yeah, but like
that's kind of the difference exactly.
I'm just saying these objects are what if they're still objects?
They
can't be. Yeah.
Well, one way to find out.
You have to remember that relative to you, it's kind of like moving through traffic on the interstate, right? You're all going 100 kilometers per hour. So when you go sideways to relative to another car, you're still going the same speed relative to one another forwards. So yeah, you can weave in and out of traffic, even though everyone's going very fast.
Okay.
So these objects in the hyperspace are going the same speed relative to you. Yes, they're going very fast relative to the dimension below you.
Yes.
But you're not
there.
They
would kill people.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
yes.
They're going too fast to even exist in that dimension.
Yeah.
Okay.
But relative to you, they're all going 100 kilometers an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of saw it as everything has
a
little less resistance.
You're just moving in a higher plane of speed.
That's right.
Everything.
You move much faster. It moves much faster.
Yes.
But from your perspective, everything is moving the same speed it would in a normal dimension.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so with the science of Twilight Imperium Renegades input into this episode, so obviously you'd be piloting the ship and just making sure we don't crash into rogue asteroids and stuff like that are traveling at faster than light speed.
It's just regular speed in that dimension.
Yeah, yeah.
Hyper robots.
I'm assuming while we're on our trips, everybody's kind of doing their own thing. Like you would be piloting and going back and forth. You'd be kind of repairing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, you can do that while repairing stuff.
That's what Ned does, Demon.
It's multitasking. Yeah, and then you'd be like playing poker with yourself and always winning stuff like that.
Really good solitaire.
Browsing the internet.
Yeah.
Extra.
So this would be kind of one of those moments where like my character Kadix would get up and kind of sit down.
Your character's name is Kadix?
Wow, really? I didn't know that. would kind of sit down in the captain's chair and just kind of observe for a little bit, not really say anything. I'm assuming my character would kind of do this on regular basis.
Sure.
Where he'd go from like his bunk to like taking care of his plants to go and sit in the captain's chair, because that's kind of what he does.
So well, up until whatever.
Up until recently,
is.
The past month has been hectic. So this is kind of before
really
that.
No, I mean, up until whatever point, Kadix doesn't know how to fly a ship.
Huh.
True.
Sure.
He knows how to pilot in space, but he doesn't.
That's
know
up
to,
until recently.
But he doesn't know how to astrogate. Somebody hasn't taught him yet. I don't think
so
I want to be taught.
So you ask him.
Anyways.
So QB, and I couldn't help but hearing what you and Bug were talking about the other day. Well, probably like a few. Like a week ago or so. I don't know how long it's been.
What's that now, Captain?
Sorry if this sounds really stupid, but what are we to you? Why are you even still here? Why stick around with us?
Kibi stares at his screen silently for a couple seconds before swiveling his chair around.
Hours. Yeah, this is very out of character for Kadix to...
Before swiveling his chair around completely and says, you know, I don't understand why everybody is obsessed with the idea of what are we to everybody else.
Like, you're the captain of the crew.
Until later.
You're the captain of the crew. Like, I mean, I'm the pilot, Bugs the mechanic, and Zero's our killbot. Like, it's important, the fact that we're together, but, like, why do we have to put, like, a label on it? Like, effectively, we're, like, some big, terrible, dumb family, but, like, it doesn't mean that, like, we have to actually like each other. I mean, you could like me, and I might like other people. That's not the point. Anyway, what's the question again? I got off track.
Is that all you see yourself as? As just a pilot, nothing more?
I see myself as a good pilot. And I mean, honestly, if you want my perspective, like I told Bug the other day, like, this is a way to do more for more people and my people and better things for better people with better people than what else I could possibly doing anywhere else. This is literally the best option I could have, and I don't know if I would have it any other way. So, you can take that as it may.
Hand me your letter of resignation tomorrow. Dirty dog.
I mean, like, if you want us to be family or something, I mean, just... Hey,
I'm
don't
not
kick us to the curb.
Don't change your relationship.
I'm not necessarily wanting anything.
Don't kick us.
I just want to know what you think of us. Am I just a captain to you? Is Zero just a meat shield to you? Sorry, metal shield to you? Is Bug just the guy that fixes the ship that you fly around? Or is there something, is there some stronger connection that keeps you coming back? Is there something that's like, I need to keep flying with these people because there's something about them that I can't find anywhere else?
Well, it's a bit of that and a bit of, we've all kind of seen the exact same fucked up shit, and we're constantly kind of escaping danger we probably shouldn't have in the first place, so I don't know. Maybe just destiny. Maybe it just fate.
That magical word.
Oh yeah, QB, by the way, watch out, the ship's below you.
What?
And QB like dives to the floor.
That's
nice.
A good ending for that one.
Nice. That's good.
He spaces himself.
Jeez. What? My name?
Holy shit, I'm still unfixed.
Okay.
All right. So the context for this question actually is a few days after you've killed Graham.
Great.
It makes sense in context.
I was waiting for it.
So you've been moping around the ship for a while.
Killed my
ball. You know, you're looking out into space. At some point, you know, on the monitor as we astrogate somewhere.
At that point, I want to clarify, after that has happened, QB's just, like, been doing his job. He's barely been eating. He's not really sleeping. He's just sitting in his chair and staring at the screen blankly.
Mm-hmm.
So
Zero comes over to you with a deck of cards and puts it on the table. Statement. I have turned off my poker sub-process. We could play a fair game.
Zero, I don't know if I believe you. It's hard to believe anything right now.
Statement. That is an interesting point of view, especially considering how religious your people are. They have very strong sentiment on belief. But you have seen things and know things that they do not. What do you think? And he starts to shuffle the cards. One-handed, happens to people after they die.
QB sighs.
Well, I mean, look, from what I can gain based on what I can hear, because we don't have a goddamn written word, and
QB turns around as he's saying this,
like, from what I know, Raj flew into an asteroid, found a bunch of stuff, went into a cave, and just disappeared. I mean, I'm not saying, that's not what I want. I don't want to just disappear. I don't want to fade away, but I also don't kind of...
And this is the first smile you've seen QB crack in a couple days.
I'd rather not turn into some kind of massive fireball either. But what do I believe? I mean, out of everything, I have to believe in at least myself and us, and whatever happens after death is... I mean, we don't have any proof, we don't have anything like that, and all I can really do is follow the call. It's a beautiful setup, and I'd really like to believe it. I'd like to know if there was something after, but I kind of can't stomach that idea either.
Statement. When you say stomach it, you mean you don't believe it.
It's not that I don't want to. If there is an after...
And QB breaks and starts tearing up a little bit.
If there is an after, what's there, who's there, and what's it going to be like, and will any of us deserve to be there?
Statement. I suppose that depends on what it is like. Some have suggested to me that a lot of fire is involved, and that I belong to be there. I'm looking forward to it, honestly. What about you, QB? Do you think you will see a nice place or a fiery place? And will Graham be waiting for you?
Well, if I get to see Graham there, I'll kill him twice.
Statement. Probably very quickly as well. Congratulations on banishing a demon, regardless of whether or not you'll have to do it again.
Just because the demon's gone doesn't mean it stops existing.
Statement. This is true. Perhaps it has been replaced with something more powerful. A worse demon. One you will have to deal with a different way. By the way, a flush. This has been a good conversation, QB. Thank you.
QB just waves him off and turns back to the computer and contemplates the conversation he just had.
His question was, do you want to play poker? You said yes, and then he beat you.
Even with the subroutines off.
That's exactly what it's muscle just memory. Happened.
Well, he could have just said that. It was a ploy because he's QB's wanted to win against him.
Yeah, that was great.
Beautiful.
Good. I like that one.
Beautiful questions. Very nice.
Now flush.
So clearly, QB has a different answer for Bug than he does for Caddix.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
And that's because, not that he can't trust you, he doesn't like having people be above him.
Yeah. Shirks
like physically or
a little bit more
rank. Oh, kind of.
A little bit more.
But I think also that their questions were slightly different because I think Caddix is. Hinted a little bit at the destiny aspect, whereas Bugs kind of went back to the family aspect.
I was like, why not them? And yeah. He was like, why us?
Yeah, because Bug asked a very similar question to Zero. Why, you could be anywhere, Zero. Why are you here? Right? And from Bug's perspective, who I think I'm interpreting this, puts families up there somewhere in importance. And that would be a question he'd ask. Mm-hmm. And Kirk said this is out of character for Caddix, but on the other hand, when he first met the Minet, he asked them that's a very similar question. Why us? Why are we special? Why did you bring us onto the Dreadnought?
Well, we're all special.
I would have also, just to clarify, I would have mentioned like how important family is to him and whatnot, and been like, just so you know, and like try to we were joking earlier, but like father figure him and be like, dude, like these are your brothers, this is your family.
Yeah. Certainly,
I think it makes sense for
Caddix
to have asked that sort of question too, because I saw in his searching questions for QB, the searching questions he's asking himself as he gets ready to abandon the group.
Yeah, you guys, this would kind of be the first sign of that you would kind of see.
Yeah, because after Graham, that was only like two sessions after that Caddix makes his getaway.
Yeah.
So
there's reasons.
So that makes me see that.
That
so.
Depending on the questions you ask, Caddix might come up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So anyways, 2RGN takes our good friend Caddix away to have brain surgery, essentially, and leaves the other three of you to just kind of rest up and so on and so forth. So we'll skip ahead to sort of post-surgery in a moment, but I'll just tell you that Like before, the Dreadnought does not have food on anything, but he does give you the syringes. If you remember the first time you were on the Dreadnought, he gives you the medicinal syringes again, if you want to partake. And they offer to, like, sort of polish you up kind of thing, Zero, if you want it.
Statement. Accept it with relish.
Hmm.
But not on my carapace.
Oh, they don't have relish.
Literal relish.
Polish you up with relish, eh?
Wow. That's going to leave a stain. Do it.
So Zero comes back with sort of a pickle-ish scent. And,
QB ladies are now money green.
I'm about it.
QB was offered this syringe and he kind of just went...
St. Patrick's Day.
Stuck out his arm. Just shook his head and waited for them to do it.
Now you know how it feels.
So good.
It is actually really good.
What about you, Bug? Did you also take the syringe?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like food like last time.
Yeah. So both of you are hit with a euphora similar to eating a really good meal. A very filling one, like at a really nice buffet or something like that.
That knocks could be out of his idea for a second, but only for a second.
Very... obviously no taste to it because it's been injected into your arm. But that same sort of euphora...
Your arm doesn't have taste.
Wow. That was really good, like very satisfying. That kind of like maybe that's just me who does that after a meal. I don't know.
No, it tastes as everything.
Mm-hmm. So
well, it would be kind of like you had a really delicious meal, and I remember you describing you feel like energized and
yes.
You can.
When I have a really delicious meal, I feel tired and drowsy
and ready to go to bed. But you don't get the drowsiness part of it. That's what I'm saying because you didn't actually eat.
Mm.
But there's an energy that follows the euphora. So.
All I also remember being fully healed.
Nutrients. Fully healed. Yes, the serum does fully heal you if anyone's injured. And fully recover strain, unless it's for psychological reasons that you've dropped it.
Yeah, mine is. I'm going to keep mine down.
So I'm curious,
I think he was
going to
drop it because he doesn't like this.
How long is the process? Is Kadex?
12 minutes.
Is it like a day or two?
How long are you out? How long is the two questions, Aaron. How long the process? It takes about 3 hours.
Okay.
How long are you out for the rest of the day?
Okay.
So, their healing processes are fairly... They drop in like a tank of like metagel stuff or whatever and like monitor you. And
then you drown and
He has a face mask on. That's always how it works.
Everyone does.
Now, just insert a breathing tube.
Having been able to hang out around the ship for basically a full 24 hours at this point, you come to see sort of how the ship is run. There is about a total of about 10 non-Lazax people on board. Lionel and others. Most of them have maintenance jobs. A lot of them are in the hangar that you've seen to the fighters and things like that. Which you would kind of describe as menial tasks. Cleaning things. It's the human servants that give you the syringes.
I was going to say QB would have stayed in whatever chamber he was given, but then you said fighters and I immediately became interested.
They would be the ones who would take care of the guest quarters because the Lazax wouldn't need to sleep in beds. Also you are now aware that 2RGN is not the only Lazax on board either.
Oh.
There are actually two others on board as well.
Oh, that's worse.
Yes.
Wait, you said the humans and the Latinever in war, right?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, I did. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to clear that.
All of the servants on the ship are human. But anyone who asks them of why that is just explains that Perimeter is a human colony, and all of the diplomatic corps are from Perimeter.
Right.
So
neat.
Everyone on Perimeter, the guests aren't shy in giving you things like this. All the humans on Perimeter have joined the collective. It's not a big colony. Perimeter's a large planet, but doesn't have a lot of habitable areas. Everyone who is there has joined the collective and is either on the planet doing something or have joined various Lazax emissary ships as sort of a friendly face they can look at that's not just a mechanical nightmare.
Right.
So
QB stumbles across a guy watching the Bionic Commander video on his computer.
Oh my god!
He does a double take, he looks back, you walk past the doorway, he goes back, he's like, oh my god, was that him?
He goes back in.
There you go. They're, all the humans that you pass and so on are overly friendly and are not hesitant at all to talk about the glory of the collective or the miracles and wonders that the Lazaks have poured out onto the members of the Perimeter Alliance.
I'm overly friendly to the humans as well.
Okay. No. They are, like ninjas when it comes to butler service. You don't ever hear them come in and out. But whenever it is, you're like, man, I could really use a towel. I want to have a shower. There's a towel on the hanger kind of
ninja.
Thing.
Ninja! I didn't know ninjas existed.
Well, they do. They do have matter transportation, so they don't even need to be in the thing. They just need to listen to you.
Yeah, but matter transportation is different than just, like, the...
But man, I could really use a towel.
Yes.
They transport you into the shower.
Yeah.
What's going transport on? You out of your clothes into the shower,
and then put your clothes back on after you're
done. That's right. Transport the water off of you and
waste.
You straight back
let's
in your clothes.
Let's disassemble all the atoms in your pants and then reassemble them over top of you.
I would so do that.
But you have to be careful, or else they'll go into your body.
It's like the gratuitous wastefulness that you see in high-end hotels.
Yes, that's true. So
they're showing off that they can indeed afford it.
Spend more expense.
Just because they can do it, they are doing it.
The next morning, like I said, it's been about a full day, so you've all had the chance to sort of sleep / shut off or whatever it is that Zero does when he rests.
He doesn't turn off.
No.
He's got some water and soaked up.
Does he kind of do
juice.
Like sharks do, where he kind of goes into like a passive mode where he's still aware, but he's kind of like shut off some higher functions?
No.
Okay.
This hasn't come
so
up,
sharks,
but Zero is...
Well, shark can't shock
no,
me,
I know.
Right?
Zero is fully aware 24 hours of the day. He doesn't have a sleep cycle.
Oh, okay.
At all. There's no dreams. There's no stopping.
Okay.
When everybody else is asleep, he is going back through things, categorizing, labeling, itemizing, and
okay.
considering future strategies.
He doesn't need to sleep. I assume he doesn't need to sleep because he doesn't need to conserve energy.
Yeah.
So, like, 8 hours of... each day is kind of boring for you, isn't it?
Well, 8 hours of each day is database management for him, basically. It's the same
that's
sort of
like
thing
work.
That the same sort of
redundant
thing that
drives.
A human brain sort of does when you're yeah. sleeping, which is to go back through the day's events and decide what's important and needs to be stored long term and what can be discarded. It does.
He just does it
like
consciously. But also at the same time, if you need it, you can get up and sleepwalk everywhere.
Right. He
yeah.
can immediately put that to the side and
yeah.
attend to.
Whatever. Yeah, he would. I guess, from a bodyguard perspective, he wouldn't be a great bodyguard if he also had to sleep.
I just imagine him being up at 2 a.m. making a Dagwood sandwich, and I don't know why.
Especially since he can't eat it. I guess
exactly.
he'd absorb all the moisture from the lettuce and then move on.
And then it would equal gluten-free bread.
And then it would be perfectly toasty for his owner when he wakes up.
What is this? It looks like some sort of preserved head made of salami.
So the next morning, TGRN brings you back to the command bridge, and with him is with Caddix. Bandages still sort of wrapped around the top of his head, a little more for show, perhaps.
For the grand unveiling.
They put him in sort of simple sort of robes. He's sort of in like the hospital gown kind
don't
of thing.
Don't even have my clothes.
Is his butt showing?
No.
Okay.
Do you run around the back of me to see my butt?
Yes.
Can I see Cax's butt? Oh my god, I love to do that.
Oh my god, he doesn't have one.
You're really so high you can do it without us knowing.
I was going to say, you're so fast that you could just look and come back and no one would see you move.
They go to the security cameras. There, he moved!
Statement. I noticed.
Like the Flash, just there and there's not.
Does he have a butt?
Oh my gosh.
Kirk, these are the questions you can ask my character
next
week. Stay tuned.
So, Caddix, do you have a butt?
He has to answer truthfully.
Gotta be the blitz,
right? He has to answer truthfully.
The answer is a stern maybe.
Anyways, so... He puts sort of one hand on Caddix's shoulder sort of comfortably as he sort of pushes Caddix towards the rest of the group.
The surgery, I'm glad to inform you, was a complete success. Caddix's mind has been renewed to our standards. You will also notice, and he lifts the bandages on one side above the brow,
and the scar has been removed.
So
it's a
is
perfect
it just,
patch of fur
yes.
again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You will notice we have to remove the blemishes from this accident as well.
Kind of like goes up to the top.
Yeah.
Like, where is it? It's not there.
Seamless skin repair, no scarring. Yeah.
So the bandages are just dumb.
That's my sense. It's mostly for show. He was in a surgery.
We knew that. We spent the last 24 hours knowing that.
We have kept up our end of the bargain in this matter. We ask now that you do not tarry any further in completing our quests for the collective.
Statement. Of course, my lord. That is our plan, is it not?
I go down on one knee, give him a nod, and get back up.
QB stays silent and crosses his arms.
Statement. You are looking well, Caddix, although I see that, despite my lord's assertion, the surgery must have been a failure, because you are still ugly.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Kimmy cracks a smile, because, boy, that's pretty good.
I start laughing. I kind of give Caddix a pat on the back. I'm like, all right, let's get going.
This is the first time you've ever heard the Mynet chuckle. But he doesn't have a mouth, but he chuckles out loud.
Devastating.
is it surround sound?
No, because he can isolate his voice into a single being.
He understands jokes?
Yes, Zero. Unfortunately, there are only so many miracles we can work.
Statement, my lord.
Do not lose your humor in face of such calamity as this time, to my children. You will need a strong spirit to complete the quest before you. If there is nothing else, I must return to my chambers.
Then he teleports off the bridge.
Because he can. Huh. Out of character, that was really hilarious.
It's not me this time!
Yeah, so, I don't know, I don't know
how my character would react to that.
Maybe a stunned silence is fine.
I think he would just accept it and be like, fuck you.
Well, how's Caddix feeling after he's had a day of no pills? Or
why don't we ask the character?
Yeah, ask that.
Statement, we are wasting time. Let's be on our way.
They'll get changed to meet us in the boat.
Yeah.
Wait, no, hold on, guys. Oh. And he just kind of pukes a little on the floor.
Statement, yep.
Are they going to teleport that away?
Kind of looks around. Sorry.
Lionel beams in with a broom.
With the broom? Not even a mop?
Not even some sawdust?
Is Lionel a human?
Yes.
Okay.
They're all human, like
Nathaniel
I said.
Has never
I go up to
them.
Lionel.
Why would you beam Lionel in instead of the vomit out?
When are you going to beam the vomit to?
Outside
space.
Of the
space.
That
doesn't make any sense.
I go up to...
That would be such a waste of matter transportation.
I go up to Lionel.
Human and a broom.
And put
now,
my hands on his shoulder.
Now, this is what I'm wondering.
Not even a bucket or anything, just the broom!
Now, when he was teleported, did Lionel have the broom, or was Lionel and the broom teleported separately, and then when they teleported him in, did he just start sweeping up because he knew what the broom was?
I would hope he knows what a broom is.
No, like, did he have it beforehand, or did he have it now, and he's like, oh, I have a broom, I guess I need to sweep up something.
You see Lionel appear with his hand out, and then the broom appears in it.
I'm joking. Obviously, they beamed the vomit away.
Starts fucking.
But where did it go?
Their vomit.
Into space.
Okay.
Who cares?
So if you look out the front view windows, you see it just
the same place
just,
that the ship goes.
It just hits the ship.
They teleported onto your bunk, QB, in the
Thank
ship.
Thank God.
You lift up the covers.
That's what you get for asking stupid questions.
And then you hear two. RNG or RGN go. I make funny jokes too.
Lucas Dornshed not shakes it.
Jolly Green Giant stuff.
Yes,
I
so I'm walking back to the ship.
Yeah. So obviously, yeah. So after Caddix pukes.
So Zero. Yeah, so Zero turns on his heel at that and comes back to Caddix. Statement. It seems you're a little unsteady at the moment, Captain. Let me assist you. And he picks Galax up and tosses him over one shoulder. Probably is not the best for his stomach. Like, Zero doesn't really think about these sort of things. And starts walking
up. Yeah, see, this time you throw up again, but it's matter transported as it's coming out of you.
It's so just disappearing.
And it just goes...
A hole opens up underneath
him. Just transports the contents straight out of your stomach.
Yeah.
You're like, blah, but there's nothing left to come
you
out.
You look down and there's a hole of space. Like, and then right out outside the ship, you just see vomit appearing. It's just going out and then out of the ship.
Oh, Chris, that's a terrible thought.
Straight out of the stomach.
I
Why would
hate
you even
that.
Wait?
Oh God!
You don't even get the burn of the hydrochloric acid coming back up.
What does
your
he
throat?
Have more in his stomach? He shouldn't have eaten before he went into surgery.
Everybody knows that.
I should have had the shrimp.
So what do you guys think we should do? Which task do you think
Chris
we should...
Chris is walking by the trend, not getting tags of being firemen carrying this grenade.
Yeah. Which do you think we should get a head start on?
Statement. I'm not certain. What do you think, Captain? And Zero spins and starts walking backwards so that Caddix can view everything else.
Well, Zero, how long's it been since you killed a guy?
Zero spins back around.
He's about to kill another right now!
Statement. It has been a while.
I think we should go to the Nor and prove their warriors are worthless.
Zero's eyes light up a little brighter. Statement. Yes.
Well, let's decide it. Let's go.
Let's go.
Anywhere but here.
Statement. Worry. What do you think, Captain? Zero spins back around.
Captain, I can't meet your gaze. Where are you?
Are you astrogating in the dreadnought?
No.
Yes.
That is so rude.
It's
so rude.
It's called.
They can watch you from
it's
anywhere.
It's called fast forwarding. So
yeah.
We
they
could
even make
forgetting.
A video out of this.
We're in the ship. You're not vomiting anymore.
We've made it back to the ship. I lay you down on your bunk. For some reason, you seem more distressed than when I first picked you up. I'm not sure why.
No.
Yeah. Caddix has like a really bad headache now.
Do you like pat him on the stomach?
No!
I crushed my lungs!
No, Zero knows better than to do that.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Also fragile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Five success, six advantages.
Wow.
Six advantages.
Holy crap, okay. So let's figure out how long it would have taken normally from perimeter.
It's going to...
I have no idea where you're going. You said nor.
It's whatever the blood sport was last time.
Hold on. I can go.
Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 days.
Yeah,
Alpha Kefit.
Yes, Alpha Kefit. Planet of Rescue on, that's correct. So now it's the first day.
It's 30-30.
Yeah, it's 20, it's
30-30.
It's 30-30.
30-30.
Made me scratch out my 30.
30-30-01-01.
Did we blow up halfway on the way?
No.
Oh, okay. No. It was like, we're one sector away. Sorry, game over.
What is this, the Y2K bug?
Yes.
30-30, guys. Happy New Year. Do you guys feel like a little Happy New Year's party on the ship?
I don't know. How
we're
we
going
doing?
Into blood spores. This is Zero's birthday.
I would say a lot of the celebrations and stuff were primarily Caddix is doing.
I see.
And
okay.
He's nursing a bad headache. And
I could care less.
Kind of having a lot of tea.
Right.
Bug could care less about holidays.
I see. Okay.
So, since we're traveling and since Caddix is just post-operation, probably don't comment on it too much, but at one point, Zero notices that Caddix seems to be drinking at least as much tea as he was drinking previously.
If not more.
When he was tripling the dose.
Yeah.
Sorry, how many days was that? Six or seven?
Comments on
7 days.
Seven, okay.
Statement. You seem to be drinking a great deal of that pain-numbing tea. Is your post-surgery still bothering you?
Something's still bothering me, you know, like, I didn't have it for, how long was I out, like a day or two after surgery, so...
Statement, roughly 24 hours.
So yeah, I woke up and, had my vomit materialized outside of my stomach. It's a weird feeling, and then I had a massive
highly
headache.
Highly efficient.
And then I had a massive headache, and... If it wasn't already teleported out of my stomach, I would have vomited more. And then it was only when I started having my tea again that I felt better.
Statement. Curious.
He's a big boy. He can handle things himself.
He's going to keep doing drugs. He's going to keep doing drugs.
Statement. Very well.
And Zero immediately loses interest and walks over to something else.
As you enter,
he's anticipating. You see him, like, sharpening things.
Mm. As you enter,
sharpening what?
Things.
Just any metal bars.
He's just finding edges and sharpening them.
He sees everything as a tool.
Our table is going
He picks up X. I give him one look, and he's like, okay.
Huh? He takes the playing cards.
I could improve him.
Sharpens
them. He takes the playing cards and just
and
throws them into
sharpens
the wall.
The corners.
Alpha, as you enter the Alpha Cafete system, you're barely able to get your bearings as to which planet is rescue law before you're hailed by a massive dreadnought overhead.
Sorry, where are we now?
We are right there. Alpha Cafete.
Okay, thank you.
Rescue one. Well, we're trying to get to rescue one.
Bloop, bloop. Bloop, bloop.
I see the stereotypical bloop bloop or bleep bleep.
Yeah.
And or no, yeah, I guess it'd be an incoming bloop bloop and an outgoing bleep bleep.
Yep.
Okay.
Semantics.
Important.
And Kadix wasn't in his captain chair, but he sees a little flash and runs up to his captain's chair.
Huh.
Sits in it.
Yeah.
And was like responds, like what do you want?
The video screen comes to life. And the bridge of this dreadnought is very unlike any of the bridges of other ships that you've come in contact with. The captain and crew aren't really sitting so much as lounging. What you can only assume is the commander or admiral of this vessel is a large... Well, these are Nor. It's a large insectoid creature. She's sort of lounging in this kind of, like, mass. Almost looks like the head of a... like the top of a mushroom. Or something.
So when we say large, what's the scale we're talking about here?
The Nor? Oh, well, large, like, large and relative. They're, like, 7-8 feet tall. But well, they're very broad as well.
Well, would Zero be fairly, like a fairly big build? Or is he fairly slender?
Zero is exactly 6 feet tall, 183 centimeters. And he's about 2 feet wide. So he's actually fairly slender.
Yeah. But he's incredibly resilient.
Just
But the Nor are very bulky. And also keep in mind that as insectoids, they have an exoskeleton. So that adds to their bulk. They have basically
wide.
They're wearing armor all the time. For all intents and purposes, the Nor are naked. But not quite the same naked as other
They don't have
species.
Nipples. They're not mammals.
So,
but somebody drew
I'm just saying, there's no obvious things like that.
No external genitalia.
Yeah, the large creature in the center seems to be sitting on sort of like a toadstool, basically. Some kind of large thing. You can tell it's organic. It kind of, like, breathes underneath her. And there's around her sort of a circular pit. The other crew are sitting around computers or terminals of some sort, but they're all kind of just sitting in a pit. There's no chairs. The creatures are either just sort of standing... or, like, just lying on the ground. And the gap between where the commander is sitting and the others is significant, as a significant difference.
Mm.
There's almost a hill created by where this person is sitting versus the rest
of
the team.
So, a lot more so than this captain's chair versus the other
Yes,
head.
Yes. Which like I said, a discernible hill, you know, 3-4 feet difference in where the subordinates sit to compared to the commander.
Which one's the
front? So it's less like a captain's seat and more like a throne.
Yes. Uh-huh. Beside this large insectoid is a service droid. Just sort of all ebon black and just sort of like hands clasped over hands in front of its chest kind of thing. And it does a little like ceremonial bow towards you. The creature speaks, but only in chirps and snarls. Sub Queen Chaval welcomes you to Alpha Cafete. As Supreme Commander of the Third Brood, this is the flagship SNS In proper Nor fashion, Sub Queen Chaval requests that you answer why you are in this system. You have 30 seconds to reply before the Dreadnought opens fire on your vessel and obliterates you.
We're here to challenge people to things in deathmatch combat.
Bug gets up so randomly, out of character, and just goes, "We're here for blood sport." No joke.
Droid turns around and goes, "Sub Queen Chaval invites you to the planet Resculon for, as you said,
Bloodsport!
And he's Bugs doing this out of, like, trying to be funny, just like, because people like you guys are like, that's not you, that's kind of funny. Yeah.
Or at least that's what Bug hopes.
Yeah, Bug's trying to make a joke.
And
by being
and the translation
like
droid
himself.
In turn respond, watch.
Like did he repeat it like just like Bug did?
Yes, yes, with the arm gestures and everything.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
Just trying to be polite.
Okay, the laugh that Kallax was kind of stifling is just gone. He's kind of lost it.
Has been loosed.
Yes.
But the translation droid doesn't care and the Bugs don't understand.
No.
Yep.
So I did make a funny.
Yes, that was absolutely hilarious.
Rescue Lawn is the second planet of this system. Please proceed to make orbit.
Kubi makes orbit.
Do not attempt to land on the planet until instructed to do so, or you will be destroyed. You're contacted again a few minutes later.
Sometimes I really wish this thing wouldn't go off so many times.
Bloop, 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 bloop,
query.
Bloop, bloop,
headaches.
Bloop, bloop, bloop,
still.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
We want to pick that up.
It's kind of annoying. They're like, blap, blap.
They might kill us.
I move my hand over and I touch the button.
I smack your hand.
Subordinate Angrak of the Sardak Nor Third Brood invites you to the Gladiator Fights on Rescue Lawn. We have done a quick scan of your vessel and found only one of you deemed worthy for the Bloodsport competition.
Oh, no.
However, if the rest of your team would like to participate, we have smaller weight classes in which you may participate. You have 30 seconds to give a response, or your ship will be blasted out of orbit.
Statements, Zero suddenly pipes up. We will all be extremely interested in... looking forward to it.
This statement cannot be retracted. You have all been entered into mandatory gladiatorial combat.
Wait, what are the rules? Do we get weapons?
Statement.
What's happening?
Excellent.
No, wait! Wait, but when I was Bloods, I was joking! I'm not built for Bloods!
I heard communications like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I use guns, I'm very fast!
And this is literally all housebreaking loose on the ship, just like this.
Cruisers approach your ship in orbit, and they all radio the same message. Land immediately, and Hangar Bay 5 will be destroyed.
I'm already, like...
Kimmy's got, like, shaking hands.
I'm petting X as if I'm never coming back. I'm just, like... I'm literally just crying.
As Kimmy's piloting in, he does the I don't know how to say it.
The cross? He
does, like, a Catholic-style cross.
Okay.
I inject myself with a special substance that makes me appear dead for 2 days.
It's something you saw in the movie.
Stop.
Oh, no, I'm dead. Sorry, my heart rate's slow.
As they're still losing their shit, I'm, like, I've composed myself, and I'm just, like, I'm just...
Statement.
To myself and
oh,
ready.
Don't be such big babies. Only the death match is to the death. The regular arena matches are only to first blood.
You don't know that.
Statement. Sure I do. I've been here before.
What?
Wow. I accompanied a previous master here when he enjoyed the blood sport.
And I'm just looking outside.
This is one of the greatest competitions for those who like blood sport.
But like, we have to prove that the warriors are shitty. Like, I'm not good at punch.
Statement. Try harder.
Just to clarify, when I said blood sport, I did like a Shia LaBeouf flex.
Yeah.
So every time we're saying that, we're doing that now.
Yeah. Can I put points
like
in
that,
it's blood
like
sport.
That.
Yeah, it's like it's blood sport, you know.
Can I put points in brawl real quick? No!
The cruisers escort, in air quotes, you down to the surface of the planet. Rescue Lawn is a, actually, I don't know. I have descriptions. I should use descriptions rather than just making it up. Hold on.
As Zero did that speech, though, at the end, I'm like, it's okay. I'm ready to fight.
Oh, actually, it's
statement.
Nice.
There's the spirit box.
It's calling me.
Have you seen 3 out of 4 of us?
Statement.
Well, that's not good.
Yes.
What strikes you at first is that Respilon has no water at all. It's just a rocky wasteland of a planet.
It's rather nice. You said it was rather nice.
It's rather nice for a Nor planet. anyone familiar with the Nor homeworld will also be familiar with the fact that Kinara is also an oceanless wasteland.
Mm.
So this is actually very nice for the Nor. Their cities, if you can call them that, resemble very much an anthill or a beehive. Mm-hmm. It's sort of built up into sort of a sphere.
A mound.
And all their buildings are sort of built into the sides of cavern walls and into mountains and things like that. The geometry all sort of has it, so the buildings seem to face sideways to each other as opposed to up and down. Yes.
Can the Nor fly?
No. The Nor can't fly, but they can climb.
They don't build in hex shapes, the strongest shape that insects know how to make?
They build in mounds, like this. Like anthills.
Okay.
They don't build in hexes.
Like bees.
Well, they did mention that there were shapes like beehives.
Yes. Okay. There were shapes like beehives.
Okay. Well, that's just round. That doesn't mean the inside constitutes the same thing.
Yes, I know. So no, they don't really have beautiful architecture or anything like that. The buildings are functional.
Looks like shit.
They have the planet is littered with dozens and dozens of arena style things. There isn't really traditional seats. There's just gaps where you assume the audience would stand around, and then a big sort of sandy pit.
Is there just like large pits?
Is there a splash zone up at the front?
No,
the first few rows of the audience will get wet.
Yeah, the Nor relish that kind of thing. Mm. No, audience participation.
You
want to
be in the splash zone.
A participation?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, if a guy gets thrown into the boards, grab him by the neck.
Yeah.
Lay into him.
I hate this.
and you're forced to land as you were instructed. Hainer Bay 5 turns out to just be a pit in the ground. Like a sandy pit. So, with no walkways and no discernible way out of the pit.
Oh.
You're approached by about a dozen Nor on the outside of the ship, all armed to the teeth with spears and swords and that kind of thing.
Do they only
Is it
have
just
four
regular
limbs?
Metal spears, or are they like some sort of shock spear, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, they're metal and they have like shock ends at the ends on one side.
Are they four limbed? Are they six? Or
the Sonic Nor just have two arms, okay. and then they stand on their legs.
How many legs?
Four limbs.
Just two. Four limbs total.
Okay.
Yeah. Front of the Nor approaching the ship, there's a service droid like you've seen with the other escorts. The service droid calls out, "You are instructed to leave the vessel now so that you can be weighed and put into the appropriate class."
Zero hastens to the ramp and presses the down button.
I'm standing right behind Zero.
QB has his guns on him. He's stopped, like, to the teeth. And he steps out. Well, I mean, to the teeth is, like, normal for him.
Mm. All the Nor are chattering to each other. The Nor have deemed that the assault droid is, if willing, can join the Bloodsport competition.
Statement. I am willing.
The Nor remind you that is for all rules on Resculon, there are ranged projectiles are not allowed in any of the competitions.
Oh, man.
Statement.
It's all
understood.
Good
He turns. Have you two ascended?
Yeah,
I
stepped out.
Have you all
well.
Descended the ramp?
I'd be behind Zero.
The ship?
I walk out.
Okay.
I kind of like raise my hand at the service droid. I'm actually the medic. I'm a non-combatant.
All the Nor do something that you could probably equip to laughing.
Assholes.
Yeah, they can get jokes too.
The service droid turns to Bug and QB. The Nor have deemed that you are capable of the medium weight class.
How is QB in the medium weight class?
He's so fast.
He is 4.5 feet tall and tiny.
You will fight to first blood. Once a major artery has been slashed within your body, you may surrender the match. Assuming you do not die of blood loss, you will then be taken to medical facilities.
Do I get to wear my clothes, or do I have to be naked and fight?
The Nor do not understand your need for clothes, but this is acceptable.
Awesome.
I turn to QB, I grab him by the shoulders. We'll be okay. Just don't worry, trust me on this.
I will remind you, in the medium weight class, if a ranged projectile weapon is pulled at any time during the match, the audience is encouraged to eat you.
That answered the question I was about to ask.
And QB goes back into the ship to put his stuff down.
Keep your cool.
But
they don't have to, but they're encouraged to do so.
But melee weapon. Melee.
But I have an idea.
QB melee comes, weapons aren't completely acceptable.
QB comes back out with his collapsible staff thing and like opens it and then closes it again.
Is this fine?
This is acceptable.
I don't know the damage class on that.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever looked up bow staffs.
Bow staff is melee, as a melee weapon, it's brawn plus two. So whatever your brawn value is, plus two.
Yeah. For damage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's melee.
Mm-hmm.
The Nor have deemed the Hakan worthy of the Hatchling Wink Division.
Really? Lighter than me? Look how short I am.
They're probably not just doing weight.
The Nor have heard your cries for pity and mercy, and have taken compassion on your wretched soul.
QB bumps Bug like in the side and says,
he's in the wuss class.
You will fight infants, newly hatched eggs.
He's in the wuss class.
Bloods.
Can you imagine if he loses and gets like an artery cut by one of the babies? What an upset.
This
is really... I bet money on the baby.
This is really a bonding experience for all of us.
Oh, are there odds?
The Nor recommend covering up your genitals, as the hatchlings usually go for these first.
Are there odds for these fights?
That's a mistake.
Statement. Of course there are. Betting on the fights is half of the fun. Or so I am told.
Let's, I guess we won't know until...
Oh, we're gonna bet. We're betting.
What are our odds?
For you specifically, lower class races such as the Tsar usually enter an 18 to 1.
Wow.
That's pretty good. What about him?
Is this Letnev part of the military corps?
Yes. He could be anything you want him to be.
Yes.
Statement. No, he is not.
Wages are set then at 12 to 1.
Statement. They would set your... I drove into him quietly. Statement. They would set your odds at a worse ratio if they thought that you were military. This way you can cheat them.
Yes.
Because, of course, you are highly competent.
Zeros, what, 2 to 1?
What about...
2 to 1, yeah.
What about non-combatants that will fight...
You can't. Rangers on the Hatchling Division are not allowed.
Look.
Your odds are shit.
My odds aren't great, but that's why I'm wearing my clothes, because I get some extra defense.
Wait, what are his odds?
Nothing. You can't.
But
they can't have odds on babies.
There's no legal betting.
Wow. Wow, that's upsetting.
Cadix is not offended by any of this.
Well, I guess I have to punch a toddler.
I finally get to live my dream.
No. Oh, I guess I have to get punched by a toddler today.
The toddlers are still probably like 4 feet tall.
Oh, yeah, they're probably...
Hey, guess what? I got my shock gloves. Hell yeah.
Well, we'll see how well this works.
Come with us.
And I got my bow staff.
The Nor kind of like...
As I...
The spears to get out of the pit.
As we're walking past them, I'm like, Bloodsport! And I'm like trying to get them wrapped up. Do like a war cry. Like, yeah!
Oh, you're trying to get the Nor rallied?
Yeah.
Yeah, they scream like bloody murder.
Yeah.
So, and they'll do that, like, with you, and they, like, pat you on the chest while you do that.
You take 2 damage.
Blood spot.
It's a good thing you've got heavy armor on, is all we're saying.
You have to put on a show, even if you might lose, because then at least it's worth it.
Sort of in the middle, and you can see this area sort of forks. There's 3 dirt roads that kind of lead away to various arenas. This is where you will be split up. The Nor captains recommend that you hug, kiss, and have sexual intercourse with those you are close to, because you may never see each other again.
Zero, come over here.
Statement. No.
Zero, it was a pleasure serving with you, and he puts his hand out.
Statement. You will be fine.
No.
Very well.
Well, I hope I don't die.
Bug.
Statement.
Just,
you will be fine.
I might die.
Just try not to get any. Really major arteries cut.
I still might die.
Oh, very well.
Bug was being like super playful before, and now he's just like super serious, super just zoned into it, and then he just like turns around, gives a little like salute, and then just goes down the dirt path.
Did they confiscate my med pack?
Yes.
And I say, see you soon.
The service droid turns one more time before the Nor separates you. One final question. The Nor are curious as to whether you are here representing a particular faction or person.
statement. Yes, of course we are. We are here on behalf of the Perimeter Alliance.
All the Norse stop for a second and sort of stare at the four of you. And then they sort of all shrug and escort you out. So.
Statement. I look forward to seeing you all soon. Also, I will be placing a hefty wager on you, Buck.
Wait, really?
Oh, wow. Do you guys even have any money left?
How much punch does he have? Not any better than me.
What does he mean?
I've got brass.
He already shat on Caddix today, so he's
gonna spread it around.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna lead your way. Roll initiative, please.
Hey, this is Richard, player QB Fox and producer of the Twilight Imperium Renegades podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate every single view, every single download. If you want to start a direct dialogue with us, you can go to twitter.com/TMRenegades or use the hashtag TMRenegades, which we also track, and talk to us. Send us a couple messages because we want your input. We want to know what's good, what's bad, and we want to know how much you're enjoying the show. We really appreciate these comments, so send them in. This is a original story written by Nathaniel Kiefer and produced, again, by Richard Jealousy. Twilight Imperium Renegades is set in the universe created by Christian T. Peterson for the Twilight Imperium set of board games, produced by Fantasy Flight Games. Twilight Imperium 4th Edition is out on the market. Pick it up. It's an 8-hour-long board game, but trust me, it's the best board game we've ever played, and clearly we want to share that with you guys because, well, we made this whole podcast in that universe, so that's pretty cool. Music is produced by Maxo. You can find them at levelmusicmaxo.bandcamp.com. Songs used in this show are Frozen Foot, Vast Space, and Breakneck Subway. The cast of Twilight Imperium Renegades is Nathaniel Kiefer as the GM and every other character that is not our main party, Christopher Kiefer as Divides by Zero, Philip Zivkov as Bug, Kirk Dawson as Captain Caddix, and Richard Jellison as QB Fox.